Well, if you've never been a frog kissing, then you don't know what you've been missing. There's a world of opportunity under each and every log.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Frog Kissin', a Muppet podcast presented by ToughPigs.com. And now, here are your hosts and Muppet fans extraordinaire, Laura and Julia.
What is that from? Do you even know?
No, I don't.
It's like a video game thing.
It's from a video game? Or just kind of reminds you of video game music?
I don't know. Because it's like constantly in my head and I don't know. So, if anybody knows, please write us or contact us at Frogkiss and Gals on Twitter or on our Tumblr, frogkissandpodcast.tumblr.com. I really want to know. I think it's a Mario thing, or I think it's some kind of like variation from like Mario 2 or something.
Possibly. I mean, it sounds very Mario-ish, which I was just playing some Mario last night, but I don't recognize the tune wholly.
I don't know. It drives me nuts. Like, I mean, that's like something that I will constantly just randomly hum, and I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. My audio is really good today. How about that?
Yay, good audio.
So, we're going to talk about the new Muppet series.
Yeah, which just started up 3 weeks ago. We've seen three episodes at this point. This episode airs, so far, at this current time, it is October 12th, and there have been three Muppet episodes.
Three episodes. The first one, I'm just going to say this right now, the first one was good. It did a good work of, you know, good groundwork, all that stuff. The second one was perfect. And the third one was good.
I feel like I'm the only one. So far, my favorite episode has been the third one. I really liked that episode as a whole, which I guess we can discuss further in just a moment. I mean, I loved, like, what you said, like, the first episode was really good at laying the groundwork. And I thought the second episode was equally as good, but for some reason, like, the third one was even better for me, which has given me the hopes that the show is going to keep getting better and better and better. And beyond. I don't know.
Sorry. That's fine. I was just thinking about from Pee Wee Herman. But I don't even know what he said. Oh, man. All these nerds are going to hate me now that I can't think of what it is. And going. I think he was saying that.
Yeah.
I think that was something like that.
Along that same style.
She just said better and better.
And better and better and better.
And going. Something like that. My brother was watching it the other day.
Nice.
So, that's why. And then we thought of the him singing. Oh my god, that's such a good movie.
I have never seen it.
You've never seen it?
Fun fact. Everyone
can
hate me and tell me I'm not a real nerd now.
That is literally my brother's all-time favorite movie.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask him, he'll usually say that or like Pete's Dragon. He's kind of weird. But yeah, I think it's Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Big Top Pee-wee, he didn't like as much. And he said, I've only seen that one time. And I'm like, I can't believe it. I know I've seen it more than once. I haven't seen it in a long time. It's such a good movie. Anyway,
Muppets.
This isn't called Pee-wee's podcast. This is a Muppet show.
Yeah.
Pee-wee Herman podcast.
Pee-wee kissing.
No. No, please. Although, the guy that played Jombie in Pee-wee's Playhouse was the Frog Prince in this canon video series. They did a bunch of different fairy tales. So, like, they had Puss in Boots. Christopher Walken was Puss in Boots.
Mm-hmm.
And the Frog Prince, John Paragon is his name, and he was the Frog Prince, and he was in, like, prosthetic frog-looking makeup. He was, like, very tall. He's like 6 foot something, so he has a song where he is the too tall frog. And Aline Quinn, better known as Annie, was the princess that befriends him, and she's not, it's really awesome because she's not like a total snotty princess. She's like, she's a social outcast, and she's really like, she's not good at being a princess. And then Helen Hunt plays her her evil sister.
Aww.
And then there's a girl that plays her, like, Helen Hunt's handmaiden. Her character's name is Darcy, and I remember, like, just really liking her because Darcy is a cool name. And she, like, she had a very different look about her. She has very, like, deep eyes. And then, but her real name is Siegel. And that always struck me as super weird.
That is really weird.
But I am so in love with that version of Frog Prince. It is so good. All the songs are amazing in it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I'm so mad that that's not on DVD. Like, their Beauty and the Beast with Rebecca De Mornay is on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
But not the Frog Prince. It's so good.
That's a bummer.
I have it on VHS, though. But we no longer have a VHS player.
Aw.
Yeah. So that's something I watched when I was a little kid a lot. So it could be the John Paragon kissing podcast. I would be okay with that. So you should try to watch that. That's on YouTube.
Oh, cool.
That's really cool. I think it was made in like 85 or 86. Anyway, so the first one. So we also do have questions and stuff, but we'll get to those.
Do we kind of just, we didn't really come up with anything. Do we just want to talk about each episode individually? And then I guess we can move on to questions.
Yeah, I think we can and do that. And then, like, if questions come up, I'll incorporate them.
Okay.
Well,
we mentioned how the first one, like, lays out the groundwork, which yeah, I think that's incredibly true. It kind of gives us the idea of, like, what kind of show Miss Piggy does, what everyone is doing on the show or for the show, and kind of, like, all the relationships.
It was a very good pilot episode.
Yes.
So, like, this is your everyday life. These are new characters. And I think because it was very aware of itself, as mockumentaries are.
Oh, yeah.
It, you know, it does know that it's a pilot episode. And this is, you know, oh, this is new. This is what we're doing here. And blah, blah, blah. And it explains things. And then the next, you can kind of just, like, watch them do it. And they'll explain their day, but not, like, the entire premise kind of thing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it did the job that pilots are supposed to do. Just the general setup and getting the audience used to what they're going to, you know, be expecting to see from future episodes.
I think the musical guest, though, was entirely wasted.
Was it Imagine Dragons in the first one?
See, you don't even remember.
Yeah, well, I can only remember because
that only proves my point.
The, like, the little bit during the credits was them playing
it was
music and
during the credits.
And, like, it had a bit with Animal, but yeah, that kind of they had the one good joke that Janice gave.
I was going to say exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that was kind of the whole point, which they kind of could have done without bringing the actual band on.
I know, like, she could have, they were going to be like, okay, well, next week we're going to have this important guest and, like, actually have the band or, you know, whoever, not necessarily, like, Josh Groban, because that joke wouldn't have worked, but, you know, to have, like, they need to have a band, because, like, Imagine Dragons, I can't name one dude out of that band.
Me,
you know?
My boyfriend and I took this BuzzFeed quiz, and it was name what white boy band this is, and it was just a bunch of pictures of, like,
Nickelback,
of all
and Dragons,
like, bands that have just all white guys with, like, long hair and beards, like the current guys bands from today, and, like, we did
wait, Mumford and Sons, Mumford and Sons, he has a banjo.
I did get the Mumford and Sons one just because I love them, but otherwise, all the other bands, I was like, they all look the same, and Imagine, like, Dragons were in there.
Yeah, Mumford and Sons, you know, because they have, like, they usually kind of dress sort of old-timey, too, and there's, like, more people than you would expect in that band.
Also true, but yes.
Like, usually there's, like, five dudes, but they have, like, 12 or something.
And they all have, like,
they
vests
seem to have,
and,
like,
suspenders, and they're holding old-timey instruments.
Some kind of, like, they all look like they're from the Dust Bowl era, you know?
So true.
But I think Chris Hardwick called it, like, Dust Bowl rock or something like that. I don't remember.
My favorite kind of rock.
Yeah, I really like it.
Mumford and Sons. Imagine Dragons,
they're okay.
They didn't, like, I don't even think I know any Imagine Dragons songs. I probably do.
Radioactive, that's the one.
I do know that song because of what, like, Pentatonix, the acapella group that covers
them. We know
them.
That song because of a different group that does the covers.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for your band.
Yeah. No.
So yeah, they
did a really good cover though. I like that music video too.
Yeah. But the appearance of Imagine Dragons on the show didn't do much for me. Like they had the they had the joke that Janice made, and then I guess they kind of talked to Animal.
I think that kind of like made a lot of fans kind of afraid of what is like, oh well, there's no music in the show, they're not gonna do musical guests correctly or whatever.
I think
seeing from Imagine Dragons being on the show, that's a fair point. Like, yeah, I guess they're, well, it's a different thing, but you know.
I mean, going into this new show, when we learned about like it being a mockumentary, I personally wasn't expecting music.
No, me neither.
I'm not expecting, you know, I think that's what I think. There was an article in Tough Pigs that talked about the biggest problem people are having with the new show is that it's not the Muppet Show, and people just want another Muppet Show. But I don't know if a Muppet Show would work nowadays with like the current audience and what they kind of expect from their TV shows. And I think mockumentary is really smart, and we will get things like Josh Groban and Miss Piggy singing to each other. And that becomes integral to the
plot. That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
They worked.
That's why I like the second episode so much.
Yeah, they worked in music really well, but at the same time, they didn't make the entire episode, you know, a sketch variety piece. I don't know. I think if there's more of the Josh Groban type music going on where there's, like, humor happening and it's part of the plot, as opposed to like kind of just shoehorning Imagine Dragons in at the end of the episode.
I know, that was probably what it was so weird that it felt like, okay, and now this band's gonna play, thanks everybody for watching, good night, and then, you know, their band plays over the credits and they don't actually finish the song because they run out of time. Well, like a real talk show. Sometimes that happens. But I mean, it doesn't have to happen for here, and I think it was just kind of a waste of, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think the second and third episode did a really good job of every plot line having a good amount of time, and I'm wavering around a knitting needle like a magic wand because I'm like using this to make my points because I'm weird and I talk with my hands. But yeah, they did a really good job of, like, you know, each plot had a good amount of time and was very well-rounded and all that. Goddamn, I love Groban.
Oh, Groban.
He's so, like, he could have been funnier because he's so hilarious. Like, just, like, Google him for an interview or something. He's so funny.
Oh, I know. Trust me.
He is so funny.
Speaking as someone who is a huge fan of Josh Groban in both of his music and everything else he does, and his
like,
general appearance.
Yeah, he can sing. Okay? He can sing. I'm not crazy. Like, I don't have any of his CDs.
Oh, I have all of his CDs.
You know, I'll put in a CD at work, the CD that we have to play in the store. But I don't, like, because, I don't know, because, like, the way that he sings is a bit too,
Broadway
operatic for me, for regular listening type of thing.
Which is kind of, I'm all for that type of music.
But yeah, I mean, like, because that, you know, that new CD you put out was good, but that was all, like, Broadway operatic type stuff.
I know.
But he is so remarkably funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And he's so nice, and I think he was on, like, Nevermind the Buzzcocks, which is, like, a panel British show.
He has hosted Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
Yeah, that's where I figured out that he's freaking hilarious. And he had, like, these big old glasses on. I'm like, I love that nerd. Oh my god, look at him.
Like, you're preaching to the choir,
Laura.
That's how I fell
in love with him.
Yeah, he's been, like,
being on Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
He's been my top 5 celebrity crushes since I was 15.
Aww.
Like,
that's so cute.
I have a lot of Josh Groban feelings. Like, his music drew me in.
Does he give you the feels?
He gives me all of the feels.
Yeah, and, like, everybody I know love Pepe's gender is fluid thing.
Yeah.
Like, my best friend, while I was watching it with her, she literally squealed. Like, she went, it was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's interesting, because I heard someone, I think, on the Tough Pigs forum said that they weren't sure if that joke worked or not, but I thought that it was great because it kind of sets like the pace for where the Muppets are kind of in more liberal thinking, and they have made a couple good humor jokes expressing how they are like totally pro equality and feminism, and it's good.
On the other hand, in the same strain though, the Swedish Chef joke from the third episode, I thought was kind of heavy-handed. In a very weird way.
I thought that joke, it didn't come across as well as it could have. There was a lot of discussion about, like, what the purpose of it was, and...
Yeah. So the joke being that Christina Applegate says... No, yeah. Christina Applegate
He wants her autograph.
Yeah. And he says... The Swedish Chef says, make it out to Megan. And she's like, oh, who's Megan? Is that your daughter? And he's like, no, it's me, right? It means me, whatever.
Someone was saying on Tough Pigs that, like, something similar means me in Swedish.
Right. And so Christina Applegate assumes that Megan, being some form of Megan, which is a traditional girl's name, means that the Swedish Chef is, identifies as female. And celebrated that. And the Swedish Chef, was also equally excited. So, but it was kind of just confusing.
Yeah.
Honestly.
For me, it didn't feel like that joke was heavy-handed. It just felt like it...
Well, not heavy-handed, but just kind of like, it was odd.
Kind of it felt off.
Weird, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was the You Go Girl thing. Maybe it was that. Maybe it's just that.
I mean, I liked the Swedish Chef's, like, snap at the end. But yeah,
they're in exuberance, but just, I don't know, maybe it was just Christine Apple saying, you go girl. Maybe that's just what made it feel super awkward and like, oh, did she say that? I don't know.
Does anybody say that anymore?
No, they don't.
Yeesh.
So if the Swedish Chef does identify as female, that is awesome. Yes, live your truth, girl. But it was just such a kind of an odd joke. Like, I don't know. It was just kind of strange. And also, unfair for Christina Applegate to assume that even if their name was Megan, that is automatically a girl's name.
That's true.
Yeah. So there.
Don't generalize.
Exactly. So that was also why it was like, I don't know if I would stand by that joke or what have you. Anyway, so that was interesting, but, you know, I do know a lot of people liked it and were very excited that the Swedish Chef identifies as female, or appears to, or what have you. I have, like, a kind of weird, sort of strange bubble around me regarding the show, because I have literally not seen any, negative anything. Except for like that one person on Tumblr that I kind of railed into.
Oh yeah, that we kind of jumped on.
Okay, so to kind of sort of strain off, this person was very upset with the new show. They did actually have some, so they actually had some good points. They said that they believed that it lacked heart, that everybody was kind of too mean. You know, Miss Piggy was, like, she was very isolated from everybody, or maybe somebody else had that point. But Kermit was too mean, blah, blah, blah. I think it was a female, I'm not sure. Anyway, their mistake was saying that the show was totally lacking Jim's vision.
Yeah.
And, like, klaxon bells and red lights went off. And I was like, hold up. And I wasn't really... To be fair, I was actually really good. I didn't, like, rail at him. They said something that... it was something about something Kermit said. Or something that he would never be this mean to Miss Piggy. Ever.
Yeah, which people have made that... Someone else on Tumblr pointed that out, like... a few months back. Like, I think it was when the breakup was happening. So maybe it was only, like, two one month back, but like someone made that point and me and you also jumped on to the same point of Kermit's always kind of been not nice to Miss Piggy.
Yeah. I mean, he denies their relationship at every step of the way.
Constantly.
Usually.
And like in interviews, he always like pokes fun at like her weight and like how he thinks she's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, yeah, he's always done that. So they said like, oh, Kermit would never be this mean to Miss Piggy, you know, because everybody has this ideal of Kermit as being perfect, which he isn't. But so he is a character, and all the Muppets are actually very complex characters, and people don't really think about that because they're puppets. But so I took a Gamera Boys gifts and I put them in there, and the ones from that episode were was it Quanto Lucusta, I think, was the or similar song where Kermit has the line, the frog has come to have a say, the pig will never have her way, fork and I think it was like bib and napkin, knife and fork, which doesn't really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bib and napkin, knife and fork is the only way that I'll touch pork. That is a horrible thing to say.
Yeah.
That is so terrible.
It's
so bad. Right?
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not good. And I think people have this perception of Kermit because I feel like ever since Jim passed away, like,
and
especially...
then I said, tell me more about Jim's vision.
Yeah.
Because I mean, because like that's the thing, like if people ever say Jim is rolling in his grave, I'm the first to point out fuck you, Jim was cremated. And then also because, you know, I said the F word on here, maybe I want to do like a bleep out thing, but I don't know how to do that. So it's like, yeah, if people bring up that Jim's vision or Jim's rolling in his grave, blah blah blah, if they didn't know Jim personally, they have absolutely no grounds to say that whatsoever.
Well, I mean, like, and like what I was just saying is that I feel like ever since Jim Henson passed away, and especially since Disney got a hold of the Muppets, they've really pushed for Kermit to be more straight edge and kind of the nice guy and the everyman. Maybe it's because he's the leader of the Muppets, or maybe because they want it to have a more wholesome, family friendly feeling to it. I don't know. But I feel like that's the reason people are like, Kermit's never mean, because look at these recent projects where he has not been mean. And I'm like, go.
Two of those recent projects, he wasn't even Kermit, first of all.
Right.
At least the two of the, you know, after Jim passed projects.
But, you know, go watch The Muppet Show. Go watch Muppets Take Manhattan when Miss Piggy's like, we're going to get married. And he's like, ha ha ha, I would never marry you.
He laughs in her face.
And then
laughs
she karate
in
chops
her
him.
Face. Yeah. So, speaking of people getting like odd perceptions of characters just from, I don't know, nostalgia. Somebody had a good here it is. So this question was actually posed after the first episode aired, and I just saved it and asked him if he could, instead of it came to Muppet Mayhem, so I saved it and asked him if we could do it on podcast, and he was like, cool. So it's from Chris, whose name is on Tumblr, It's a Christastrophe, which I thought was great. So he says, what are your feelings on Scooter being a dick to Elizabeth Banks in the pilot episode? I'm really confused because I never knew him to act that rude before.
Let me just say that out of all three episodes, my favorite scene so far has been that golf cart scene.
Yeah.
It is it's great. And I also like everything that's been happening with Scooter in these three episodes.
But I really like that scene because it's, first of all, because there was a lot of slapstick in it, which I think is missing from the show so far. I was actually going to make a post or a Twitter or something, and I didn't actually do it. But, I said, like, I was going to say, I think the only complaint that Jim would have with the series is, why are there not more explosions? Because there haven't been any. Kind of disappointed.
That's true.
Also, lack of penguins. Not a whole lot.
Where are
I've
the
seen
penguins?
One. Seen one.
There should
but
be
not...
more. They should all be,
more
like,
penguins,
in charge.
More penguins, more rats.
They should all be in charge of, like, catering or something. Something that hasn't been claimed yet.
No, Swedish Chef has catering. But they would be, like, maybe we'll get, like, a big, reception scene and they'll be the waiters or something like that.
Yeah. As for Scooter being a dick, I think Joe pointed out on Tough Pigs recently how Scooter hasn't had much of a personality since The Muppet Show ended, especially yeah. because they kind of retired his character for a bit yeah. after Richard passed away. And I don't know, it doesn't feel that weird to me that he, and it's really only been the Elizabeth Banks scene where he was kind of being rude, but he was also
pushy.
He was yeah. also supposed to be like stalling and keeping her away, yeah. so he was
he was like purposefully being very bad.
Yeah, he very had on purpose. Instructions, but to
and I
her
and
away.
I actually answered. I answered Chris, but then I said we're gonna talk about on the podcast that he needs to go back and watch the first couple episodes. Because Scooter was a little shit.
Yeah, that's also the other thing, which I haven't watched The Muppet Show in forever. I'm really due for a rewatch. But I remember yeah. Scooter not also being that great a person or puppet, I guess.
And like, and it was like the first episode or the first or second episode, or it was the first couple episodes. He was like so, like, blackmail-y annoying.
Yeah, he always, like, brings up his uncle whenever he yeah. wants his way. He's like, I gotta
like,
go
which
talk
is weird
to
because
uncle.
He could have had, like, such a better job than getting coffee for people. But no, he wants the little PA position, and then he's gonna, like, throw his weight around as the theater owner's nephew, too, in that position somehow. Which, yeah, I think that's funny. But, you know, it's funny because they say that Richard or Scooter was just Richard sort of at, you know, 17 and 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
And hearing stories that his mother has told on Steve Swanson's podcast, Muppet Cast, several years ago, she did some interviews and he's done interviews with her and stuff over the years. I don't know if they're available or not still because he took the podcast down, but he brought it back up. But yeah, I could totally see that he that's Richard. I was like, oh, what a little shit. But yeah, so yeah, Scooter, I love Scooter, but yeah, he was a
I like how him and Miss Piggy were kind of teamed up in this most recent episode.
Yeah,
I thought that was a cool duo that we've never really seen much before except for maybe a couple interactions on the Muppet Show. And yeah. I would love to see Miss Piggy hang out with more people besides Kermit.
Yeah, and Garrett Gilchrist, he got to us on Twitter, Tiger with a Y, Bug Garrett, and he says, writers have turned Miss Piggy into a villain with no positive qualities, and it's worrying me more and more. And I kind of have to, like, actually after he said that, and I was like, yeah, she's kind of horrible in this, but it's weird because like one of the first things I said after the pilot was like, I love Miss Piggy in this. Like, she wasn't one of my favorite characters before, but I'm really loving her in this, and it's because she is kind of totally the bad guy almost. Mm-hmm. Like, you get some sympathy for her because Kermit breaks up with her, for you know, taking her fame over their relationship, but yeah, she's not. We need some better interactions with her and other females.
Yeah.
Notably.
I wouldn't say that I view her as the bad guy entirely. She's kind of doing the thing that she's been doing for decades now. But it would be really nice to see her have a more positive relationship with someone on the show. Maybe a storyline where she's not trying to, like, get the better of somebody.
Yeah, because I'm like, what I do not want to see is every male that comes on the show she flirts with, every female that comes on the show she hates.
Yeah.
Like, actor-wise.
Well, I mean, I kind of like the fact that
guest-wise.
The most recent episode, like, implied that, like, her and Christina Applegate are kind of friends, but then, like,
yeah.
she spent
well,
the entire episode trying to get back at her.
And to be fair, Christina Applegate was a total bitch in this episode, so... she humiliated Miss Piggy.
She deserved it.
She really did. But, you know, I forgot what my point was going to be. Oh, another reason, though, that kind of resonates is because everybody's in the writer's room and they're all doing the stuff, and every time they're kind of in there, they're usually talking about her and talking about, okay, well, we have to do this and this to prevent this or whatever for Piggy. because she's not included in the writer's room, she's not included in, like, a lot of the bullpen stuff that kind of happens. Like, not on, like, an interpersonal level, sort of.
Yeah.
I think that that isolates her a lot, too.
That's true. I mean, she is the host of the show, and I don't know how realistic that is if, like, normal talk show hosts sit in the writer's room. I guess some probably do and some don't. That, I don't know. Them talking a lot about her makes sense just because she's the pivotal part of the show they're putting on. But it'd be nice to have her part of the story without people, like, always constantly, like, I don't know, talking and plotting ways to trick her into relationships and such.
Yeah. Although that was a really good storyline.
That was a good storyline.
Her and Groven. That was so good. And there's I heard a lot about, like, oh, is Kermit sexist because of the thing that he said in the parking lot when he did that thing to make, you know, Josh Groban Presents the Miss Piggy show, and this is just to show that even though you're the only female in late night TV, you're not afraid to say you can't do it without a man. I was like, that was such a great line.
Yeah, did people not get the joke?
I think they misinterpreted it.
Okay.
I'm guessing. I don't know, because he was, like, really happy about it because his plan worked. Immediately got crazy pissed off.
I mean, Kermit's obviously...
And then so he was like, bye-bye. I think they missed, like, the bye-bye thing, that was, like, his total plot. He wasn't saying that. He was not being sincere.
Yeah.
He was saying that because he knew that that would piss Piggy off, and therefore she would dump Groban. That was his entire intention. So, I don't know. I don't know if people got it strangely misinterpreted or not.
Yeah, that seems... It seemed pretty clear to me, but I guess, you know, sometimes...
Not everybody.
Yeah, miss people. kind of going off, but staying on the topic of Kermit and Piggy, where did Denise go?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really care.
She was... I also personally, unfortunately, don't care. I would love it if they brought her on and then fleshed her out and made her more interesting. But...
Yeah, because the only thing we know is that she has fake eyebrows. I mean, those things are fake. She's Southern. I like that. I'm Southern. Kermit Southern. That's cool.
She cooks.
She cooks?
Yeah.
She's in marketing. That's all we know.
Yeah, there's not a lot. And I mean, it's just really weird.
Yeah, she seems nice.
She was such a hot topic when the show first came on and the first episode aired, and then we haven't seen her since.
But it's kind of weird because it literally doesn't matter. Because, like, her presence was not missed.
Well,
like, I didn't even notice that she wasn't there in the second episode, to be honest.
Yeah, it wasn't until the third episode. I might have noticed, but I probably didn't think it was weird until the third one.
We haven't seen this character.
Her presence
That's
is
not great.
Her presence is kind of missed in the sense that the show still needs more ladies. It was nice there was a new lady Muppet in the most recent episode, although I guess she's probably not going to come back, but the Muppet that was
Julie
was on the date. Her name wasn't Julie.
Yeah.
Her name wasn't Julie.
Debbie.
Debbie.
Dang it. Why? I said Debbie. I mean, I said Julie. Oh my god, I got the name wrong. She is literally named after Dave Goals' wife, and I got the name wrong. I follow Debbie Goals on Twitter, and I got the name wrong. I apologize profusely to Miss Goals. I hope that if she does listen to this podcast, which I doubt, but if she does, if she would like to be on this podcast, if Dave would like to be on this podcast, I extend my deepest sympathies.
You
to
all be on this
screwing
podcast.
Up that name. Holy mackerel.
Plus, the name Debbie was, like, kind of the joke of, like, her character, because Pepe kept being like, oh, the name Debbie's are so exotic.
Yeah, Debbie's so exotic. Yeah, and the fact that she looked, her puppet looked exactly like Debbie Goals. I was like, that was so, I loved that so much.
I loved it.
It was kind of weird, because Gonzo was dating someone who was not Camilla, which is, the second, hey, these characters that have gone out for 40 years aren't really, kind of not really together anymore. Somebody mentioned Floyd and Janice. Darren Granner, Muppet Man, at Muppet Man 1972, 1972, said, it seems Kermit and Piggy aren't the only Muppet relationship to end after this week. I wonder about Floyd and Janice. I'm not really worried about Floyd and Janice, because basically Nick Offerman was just flirting with Janice. And Janice was flattered, and that seemed to be the end of it.
That's true.
As far as I'm concerned.
But I've seen promo pictures for the next week's episode, which is the main guest star is Ed Helms, and I've seen him with his arm around Janice in a couple pictures.
Totally harmless.
Okay.
Look at you, Julia, presuming things.
I...
Just because he's a good-looking, insanely talented man
who
can sing really well and play the banjo really well, too.
I love Janice and Floyd. I love Ed Helms, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I also feel like Janice and Floyd probably are more free-spirited in their relationship.
And people ship Janice and Zoot, like, hardcore.
Well, that's because they were together in, like, the very first, like,
that's
episode.
That's what I was thinking.
Two.
I was like, were they together? And I just, like, totally didn't, like, I totally missed that.
It was,
so, yeah.
It was very brief early on, and then they changed it to Floyd and Janice.
Yeah, which is better.
As for Gonzo and Camila,
Camila.
What did I just call her? Camila?
I said Camila. Camila.
Camila. Camila, excuse me.
I don't know. What is up with us in names today?
I don't know. I feel it's a little weird that they haven't touched on those
two. We haven't seen any chickens either.
Yeah, we haven't seen any chickens. And it hasn't touched on how those two have broken up. And I don't know if it's because their relationship hasn't been, you know, it's not like Miss Piggy and Kermit where everyone knows about them. And so Disney feels they can kind of just like brush over it.
I don't know.
I would really like for her to be on the show, and then
maybe they're just on again, off again, having a break right now.
I mean, those...
we don't know. It's only the third episode. Maybe we'll find out.
Those two have always kind of also been very flirty with like other barnyard animals. So that's true. They've got a history.
Yeah,
but I'd like it if she made an appearance. I love that Yolanda's on the show.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Because she's kind of the second main female character currently on the show. She's had more lines than Janice.
That's true. I love Yolanda's character in this, too. I love that she has a character.
Me, too.
She's a character that exists.
Me, too.
That, first of all, I do not love her puppet. I'm so mad about that.
There was talk about how her, like, pupils are too small.
The magic triangle is gone. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, she's gorgeous in Muppet Stay Manhattan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. She did not age well.
I guess not. Whoever
I guess. I don't know.
Whoever fixed her up for the show didn't do as good of
whoever
a job.
Whoever rebuilt her did a poor, poor, poor job. So rebuild Yolanda. Say that she had some work done and we'll be fine. But please fix that puppet.
Right.
I mean, really. Like, her head's all weirdly shaped. I think, like, they took one of the puppets from one of the weird-looking rats from Muppets in Space and just slapped a blonde wig and some jewelry on her and...
Called it good.
I was like, okay, what's her name, Yolanda? Yeah, here you go. I'm so glad that she's here, though. I think I saw her in it. Did I even know that, like, she was going to be in the show? I started that Yolanda the Rat 2015 hashtag.
I don't know if we knew if she was going to be in the show. I can't remember if we had seen,
I think,
like,
I just
picture.
Wanted her because I love her. Because we're like, we need female characters. Yeah, Yolanda is the only one I can think of other than, Beth the Bear. Who's just Bobo with a
bow
on her head.
Bobo with a bow.
Yeah. Beth the Bear should be, like, you know, Bobo's wife or something.
Maybe that is Bobo's wife. We know that Bobo is married and has a child.
Mm-hmm. So does the newsman. That was news.
I know. We've learned so much.
I did like that little, you know,
that was
that little plot. It was very small.
It was a good C plot.
Yeah. It was good.
I enjoyed it quite a lot.
Yeah. So I think they're doing a real good job doing the guest stars as well. Josh Groban was perfect.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, I loved Lawrence Fishburne. His, like, just two quick bits
yes.
with Kermit, and then he comes back.
That was so perfect.
That was great.
That was so perfect. That's just, like, and it's weird because, obviously, people that don't remember the movies that well
mm-hmm.
are kind of like, oh, they're using they're too dependent on guest stars. There's too many guest stars in this for some reason. Why are they all... I'm like, that's like every time you turn around, every human interaction in a Muppet movie
is a guest
except
star.
With Yeah, except with like the, whatchacallit, Great Muppet Caper, really.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, yeah. Is like, they're, you know, Bob Hope's the freaking ice cream man.
It's true.
Richard Pryor selling balloons. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be like, yeah. And I think they tried to do that with the last two movies.
We talked a bit about the last two movies, how it just felt like they were throwing, like, all these cameos.
Yeah, they didn't utilize them as well.
There was no joke with any of, like, the cameos. They kind of were, like, just there. Like, Toby Jones said one line and there wasn't, like, a joke to go along with it. Whereas this, it feels like they only have about, like, three guest stars on each episode, and, you know, they've got a purpose and they've got kind of a joke or a gag, and then that's it. And then it goes back to focusing on the Muppets, which is as it should be.
Speaking of this show and perfect cameos and the movies, Josh Groban's cameo in the Muppets and Muppets Most Wanted was so good that I'm so glad they brought him back to do the show. And I, like, just remembered it, and I'm like, that was, like, my favorite one ever. How could I forget that one?
He did do a good cameo.
So I hope that they bring people into the show that were in the movies.
That would be great if they
got, even in the older ones. Like, what's the girl that played Jenny in Muppets Take Manhattan? What's she doing now?
I have no
idea. Have her come in and be like some, you know, low grade studio
director. Get Michael Caine.
Yes.
Or like Kevin Bishop. Oh my God. Or Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Oh, they should have Ricky Gervais come in and be like a total asshole. Yeah. Like, everybody's like, oh, Ricky. Oh, man, we had such fun doing Muppets Most Wanted together. Oh, why don't we do this? And he's just like a total, like, just horrible to everyone.
Yeah.
he's so nice.
I know.
Or they should have Tom Hanks do that.
Oh my God, Tom Hanks would
be the
best.
That would be so good.
Cameo.
Okay, so speaking of what amazing cameos they should be, so my good friend Charlie, whose Tumblr screen name is Popelick VA, it's some urban legend thing, I don't know. Anyway, so we were talking about, he mentioned that he likes Frank's Piggy better, but he likes Eric's Fozzie better. So we were talking about Eric and Frank, and he said, if Frank is willing to do some kind of cameo appearance in the show, and then he told me in all capital letters, maybe he could do his character from the Blues Brothers / Trading Places. Someone gets arrested, and the guy that's there returning their stuff after Kermit bails them out would be Frank Oz, because he played cops in Blues Brothers 2000 and Trading Places. So I'm guessing whoever is in jail, when the perfect, thing would be, whoever gets stuck in jail, Kermit comes to bail them out, and they've made they made really good friends with their other cellmate, and that other cellmate is Dan Aykroyd, because of course it is. It has to be. So I think that would be a really awesome thing.
That would be pretty sweet. I would be honestly very surprised if Frank Oz agreed to do a cameo, an on-screen cameo, but, you know, weirder things have happened. That would be amazing. And
I want to know what he thinks about the new show. Honestly.
I would love to hear his thoughts on it. If he's, like, watched it, if he has an opinion, or...
Mm.
Yeah.
Let's call him up right now.
I wish.
Yeah. Right? And speaking of Muppets Most Wanted and the Muppets, it's just not the series, but the television show, because that's not confusing at all. The Anxiety from Tumblr, she would like to know what happened to Walter.
Yeah, that's been a big question. I mean,
Constantine is some other people have.
On Toss Pigs, we've talked about, like, what happened to Walter, Rolf, and Constantine, and we finally saw Rolf in this most recent episode, which was great.
Yeah, well, we've heard from, like, press stuff that he has the bar that they hang out at and stuff, which is nice.
So, yeah, it's weird that Walter's not there. I'm not really surprised about Constantine, because I feel like we might not really see him much just because he was very...
Yeah, probably not. He was the villain. Yeah, so I doubt.
It would be...
Also, he's in jail.
It would be wonderful if, like, at, like, the beginning of the hiatus before, like, the winter hiatus happens, like, he comes in for, like, a, a cliffhanger or something, and then he's like in some plots. But I don't know.
I think with Constantine, if you haven't seen that particular movie, you won't get who he is. Basically,
I feel like they could figure something out. I don't know. It would be nice to see him, but I'm not.
Or it'd be like he would be like, you know, Kermit's weird Russian cousin or something. But
they'd figure something out anyway.
That hates everybody and gets everyone's name wrong.
I don't know where Walter is, and that's kind of confusing because Disney has pushed to keep Walter like in kind of not necessarily the spotlight.
He has merchandise.
He has a ton of merchandise. I have a Walter plush on my bookshelf at home, like. Where did he go? And I feel really... I feel really bad because like, Peter Linz does not have characters yet besides Walter. I'm sure he's doing a lot of, like, left-hand work and a lot of background work. And maybe, like, doubles if, like, it's a Fozzie Piggy thing or whatnot. But I want Walter to come back so Peter Linz gets more on-screen stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could introduce him as, like, the fan kid who wants to work on the show so bad that he will do anything to try to get into it or whatever. I mean, I think that's, like, a good way to introduce him. Like, if they kind of introduce him again, sort of, like, because I think the Muppets, that world that happened in that movie was so kind of odd and removed that, like, oh, there's this, like, random... Well, I don't know, because it's kind of like that in all the movies, that the Muppets are the only sort of, almost the only, you know, beings that are like that.
Yeah, I mean...
You see them here and there.
That's true. Maybe they could reintroduce Walter, but I feel like they could still have him pop up in an episode, and he could have just been off doing something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I miss Walter. I wish he'd come back. I love that
guy. Yeah, but I think, like, if they were to do that, they would give him, like, some kind of little PA job or something.
Yeah.
So that would be good.
That would be nice.
Yeah. But I think I would like to have, like, a reason that he gets his own little plot to come back in or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure what Yolanda's job is. I think she's some kind of assistant. She had a notebook and that. One thing, she hangs around Kermit quite a bit.
I think that she's like, tell him stuff. I think she's Kermit's assistant.
Yeah, I think she might be Kermit's assistant, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. So, I really like Yolanda in this. Like, she went on that little date with Rizzo. That was nice. They're still kind of together. like, they're sort of they're always, like, almost a couple, but at least it seems like they're on their, like, perpetual first date.
That's true.
Like, he's always asking her out again for the first time type of deal. Yeah. But, I mean, overall, I'm really liking the show.
Ditto.
I really am.
I'm pretty satisfied with it. I'm expecting it to keep getting better and better.
Yeah.
For the most part, I am better and better and better
and better and better. Yeah.
But I'm enjoying where it's at now, and I'm... You know, every Tuesday, very excited for new episodes.
Okay. I'm looking at, I'm like, what questions did we get to? We almost got to all of them. Oh, yeah, okay. I'd have to scroll down. So you do have two more. So, awkwardgravityfallscreencaps.tumblr.com asks, how do you feel about the modern, I'm doing it with my hands and I realize nobody can see this, the modern adult Muppets in the new show? Examples, Kermit saying sexy and I feel you, bro, and Fozzie using a hashtag. Those are not adult things. Kids say that crap all the time.
Yeah.
Kids, look, if anything, Fozzie saying hashtag is a not adult thing.
Oh yeah, that's not an adult thing. That's a, everybody says that thing.
I think they mean, like, I guess over the, maybe not even over the age of 7. I don't know.
Well, the person who asked the question used the word modern, so I feel like that's kind of...
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry.
But...
Yeah, apologies to Awkward Gravity Falls Screen Caps. They actually do send us good questions a lot of the time, so.
I feel like the sexy part was more the quote-unquote adult part.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, there have been a lot of articles that have come out where it's like, the Muppets are talking about sex, oh no! My boyfriend actually called me up because he had read an article and it made him so angry. Because it had stated how, you know, the Muppets is now too adult. And he was he left me this long message and he's like, I know you're probably angry too. It's like they've never watched the Muppet Show. And I was like oh my God.
Well, if you know what's going to make me angry, why are you telling me this, Steven?
Well, I was just like, I have already read this article and had a discussion about this on the forums. But I love you. So... You're amazing. I'm so glad I'm dating you. I'm so glad you understand
me. Well, that's good. He read it afterwards to validate what you were saying, basically.
Yeah, and then the whole car ride home after I picked him up from work was just him being like, people don't get the Muppets, and I'm like, yes, welcome to my world.
It's like, oh, you're learning.
That's precious.
That's great. Yeah, but so yeah, I mean, it is a sitcom in every sense of the word. It's not, you know, when before it aired, when people were like, oh, it's going to be more adult, I kind of took that as, well, it's not going to be adult, it's just going to be not Sesame Street, you know?
Yeah.
Turns out we were kind of wrong. It is more geared towards just kind of 18 to whatever the demographic is, 35-year-olds, whatever, that kind of thing. But it works. I actually do, so the thing, when I was talking about the slapstick thing, I think it would do better if it was more family geared, because I know, like, I mean, a lot of those jokes and everything kids will not get. But
yeah, I feel
I don't
like...
know if they did more silly kind of things that you can do with puppets type humor.
I feel like it's
that would be helpful.
It's definitely geared towards like a teenagers and older audience, which yes, if they are trying to get kind of all ages, they should add in maybe a handful of more things for kids, but it feels like, I don't know, it feels like they're not really trying to gear it towards really little kids, to me.
Well, no, not little kids.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I mean, like, something that, you know, your 12-year-old will still hold interest in. And
that's true.
Like, I don't know, I haven't been 12 for a long time, so.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, when I was 13, I was watching Spin City, I guess. It's kind of...
I was watching Friends at 12, so...
Yeah. So maybe I'm
12-year-olds
just
dumb. Can handle it.
Yeah, they'll get it. It's funny.
Yeah,
but I do like the slapstick stuff too.
Yeah. As for like the bringing Muppets into the modern era. Excuse me. Oh my God, I cannot speak today. Era.
We're doing the podcast.
Oh.
Can't speak.
With them saying things like hashtag and selfie.
Yeah, those are things that happen.
That's what's going on today. You know, it'd be weird if they were doing a show set in our world and weren't talking about
if they did that, it would just be the Brady Bunch movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is a fantastic movie, and I remember I got so many laughs in fifth grade because I did like the Jan. I would do like a Jan imitation. I would do the little dance that she does, and like that, people friggin' loved that. They said, "Do the dance, do the dance," and I would do it, and oh, it's great. So like that was like my best year of school was fifth grade because of that.
Nice.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, they're not gonna not know what these things are, I guess. I don't know.
It would just feel very detached from the real world setting that they're striving to be in, you know, and they're working in entertainment in this show.
When Kermit says, in the third episode, DeFozzie, after he gets all tranked and everything, and that, you know, I licked my cousin once, who was a toad, and, you know, he was tripping. and he says, "I feel you, bro," and Fozzie turns and says, "That's right, we are brothers." That line killed me. I love that line so much.
I mean, that
the
whole...
The way that he said brother.
That whole sequence with Fozzie being, like, drugged on the tranquilizer was great, but I loved that line.
The best thing about that scene is that I was like, it seemed like it was like 80% improv, and that Steve and Eric were like 5 seconds away from just losing it.
That was probably so much fun. Yeah.
I could hear it in their voice, and I was like, oh, this is so good. Yeah, I loved that scene. I loved it. Uh-huh. I described it to my brother, and he wasn't too thrilled with it, but I think it was after the second, like, he had literally just watched the second one. I could hear him in his room. And he comes out to the hallway, and my mom was walking down, and he was like, "Have you seen the new Muppet Show yet? You have to watch it. It's so funny. Oh my god, it is so funny." And like I've said before, that I mean, me and my brother share. We love the Muppets still, obviously, but that's like something that we've always. I mean, we still make references to it all the time. Different stuff. He doesn't have a podcast, obviously, but we went to see the Muppets together, and he didn't want to see Muppets Most Wanted, and he still hasn't seen it because he thought it was going to be too much like Great Muppet Caper, and it was going to be dumb and blah blah blah, whatever. So he still hasn't seen it. Our last question is from Ryan Rowe from Toughpigs.com.
He's got two questions.
Are not boss and the guy that you heard at the beginning of this podcast.
Yes,
doing his our little deal.
He's got two questions and a comment.
Two questions and a comment. Questions, because you know we like to have comments. You can have questions and comments. Which is your favorite guest star appearance so far, Groban?
I really liked Groban, and I also really liked Tom Bergeron in the first episode.
Yeah, he was funny. He's super funny. I heard him on the Nerdist podcast. He was really funny. But otherwise, like, hosty stuff or whatever, he's just kind of, like, not really on my radar because I don't watch any of that stuff.
Yeah, same. I don't watch any of his shows. But just kind of like his, I'm still here, but I'll still do it. And then at the end,
yeah.
When he's like, no one told Tom. And he's all sad.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
But I thought Elizabeth Banks and Tom Bergeron were kind of odd choices for the first show. I think they could have gone, like, I hate to say it, I like Elizabeth Banks a lot. They could have gone bigger. Because, like, I don't know if it's, like, TV stars or something. I don't know. Tom Bergeron does not strike me as, like, a very big celebrity.
I felt his
hosty things.
I felt with Tom, he was kind of, like, the role that he was filling for his, like, guest star, like... They needed someone.
Yes, he knows he's not a big star.
Yeah, someone who wasn't really that big of a star, but still very recognizable. And Elizabeth Banks is arguably actually a pretty big star. She's in a lot of movies.
I totally forgot she was in Hunger Games, but I haven't seen Hunger Games, so...
She is great in the Hunger Games.
I get her and Parker Posey mixed up, like, all the time.
Were they both in One Hot American Summer? Is that Parker Posey?
Yes. No, they are. They're both in it.
Okay.
So, I watched the series recently, so this is the only way that I remember. Parker Posey was somebody, and Elizabeth Banks was the journalist in the series.
Yeah.
So I don't remember who Parker Posey was in the series, the movie. Because I get them mixed up all the time, so. They do look similar, except Elizabeth Banks is blonde.
True.
Yeah. But I do like Elizabeth Banks and stuff. And like, aside from Imagine Dragons, they could have had better guest choices. But that's why I felt like 2 was so perfect, because they had people on the show that other people, you know, people that don't watch the show, like, oh, this person's on the Muppets, let's watch that.
Yeah.
Or guest star appearance, that kind of thing.
For the most part, I mean, Imagine Dragons didn't do anything for me. And then the only other guest star I wasn't really fond of was Jay Leno, but that has more to do with the fact that I'm not a big fan of Jay Leno.
Yeah, that's probably way more to do with the fact that Jay Leno, who we don't always hear, is a great guy.
Yeah.
But I thought that his, the whole bit with, I mean, the whole, like, he, I actually really liked his plot and everything that, you know, it was nice that he wanted Fozzie to open for him, blah, blah, blah. But what does that say about Jay Leno's comedy that he thinks Fozzie the Bear is hot shit?
Doesn't say great things, and I would agree with that.
You know, I'm glad we don't have a swear jar, because I'm too broke to go to Atlanta next month.
I know,
I would have not. I'm swearing so much this episode.
You've definitely beat me in the swearing department, which
is,
I don't want to say rare, but usually I'm at least toe-to-toe with you.
I don't think I swore at all the last episode, Al, but I've been, like, really good about it, and now I just, like, Well, I already said fuck, so I'd just say the rest of it. But it is the internet. I'll try not to swear for the last couple minutes. I don't think I've done enough swears to elicit an explicit rating.
No.
For the iTunes.
I think we're fine.
Yeah. Kids say worse things. Just watch Stand By Me.
True that.
I've finally gotten to that in different seasons. Like, they just found the body.
I need to read
that was like
seasons.
That was actually. Oh my! Have you not read it?
I own it. I've owned it for many years.
Oh, you need to read it.
I'm currently on a Stephen King binge for Halloween month.
Yeah, you're reading Pet Sematary. Pet Sematary is super, super good.
That is right. Oh, because we're friends on Goodreads, aren't we?
Screw you, Julia. Just go away. I don't even want to do podcasts anymore.
I forgot. I was like, how did you know what I'm reading right
now?
Well,
also, you made a list on your Tumblr today.
Oh, right. I make
like,
so many lists.
3 hours ago.
Shut up.
Look, you already wrote my name wrong earlier this week.
Did I write your name wrong?
Yes, and I sent you a fake angry message about it.
Is that what that one message was in response to? Where it was?
Yeah, I was just like ... seriously, and I'm breaking up with you or something.
Okay, yeah. I didn't respond to it because I thought that it was in response to how we both were commenting on the person and like I didn't.
Oh no, that was
the
different.
Gifts, and I thought that was like you being like, seriously, can you believe this person?
Check out this idiot. Yeah, no,
sorry, sorry.
Well, man, Dina, my joke messed up too. God. No, but Pet Sematary is really, that's one of my favorite Stephen King books. But yeah, oh man, like the other two, like At Pupil and Shawshank Redemption, those are good. The Body is so good. I haven't gotten to the last one yet.
I've seen all three films that are based on those stories.
Oh yeah.
At Pupil like weirded me out because I was like 13.
I haven't seen it. I kind of don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Like,
Ian McKellen.
Well, I know, but Ian McKellen, does he like actually kill cats and dogs in it, because he does in the book.
I can't remember. I did not enjoy watching that movie, so I blocked it out, so quite possibly. But
you've been listening to Stephen King kissing.
King kissing. I do love Shawshank Redemption, though. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. So I should read.
It's a really good movie. I'm going to watch all, like, I'm going to do, like, a whole, like, marathon thing when I'm done with the book. Or maybe just after I'm done with the body. Because I finally got Stand By Me on Blu-ray.
Nice.
I was so happy. For the commentary that they all did.
Yeah.
Recently. Yeah. You've been listening to Will Wheaton Kissing podcast. So, and then, Ryan has other questions. Do you think Kermit is too mean, just enough mean, or not enough mean? Or not mean enough?
I think that he's just enough mean, but I would also like to see it reined back a bit more in future episodes.
Yeah.
Like, I felt that the most recent one was very true to Kermit's meanness, where he's a little mean to, like, kind of, like, he lies to, like, make people feel better, and then it kind of comes out mean when he reveals the truth. But then he feels bad.
I think they did that really well.
Like, that whole tension between him and Fozzie was great.
That was good. And because, like, you don't see that with him and Fozzie a lot of times.
I would love more, like, Kermit Fozzie, Kermit Gonzo episodes, like, in the future. Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
Yep. They should bring back Annie Sue and have her and Miss Piggy get along super well.
That would be a wonderful development that is not going to happen. But I would love
probably
it if it did.
Probably not. But it should. And, like, you know, Louise Gold is doing a bunch of stuff over in England.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't want to come back, I wouldn't be too put off by that. They could have somebody else do Annie. She could have, like, a little reinvention of her own. Her hairstyle is not really in style nowadays. Just saying. Wasn't 70s, not so much now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I say that, but I don't know what, like, Pig's style is.
They could vamp it a little bit, but still keep the
don't make her sexy. Don't make her super sexy. She's supposed to be cute.
Yeah, true.
She's supposed to be cute and sweet. And actually, she's a really super Miss Piggy fan.
Yeah.
To bring her back. Bring Spamela back, but, like, just different.
But different.
Like, her, I mean, because she was like, you know, Meryl Sheep, rather, or,
yeah,
you know, Polly Darden. She was kind of one of those parody characters that didn't really...
That would be cool if they brought back Annie Sue and Spamela, and then, like, those two and Denise and Piggy became friends.
Yeah.
Like, just like a friend group.
Like, she needs, like, a little... She needs a little girlfriend clique.
Yeah.
That she can talk to.
Yolanda can go to.
Yeah, and Yolanda. And, you know, Janice can kind of be, like, there, but kind of not. But she likes, you know, she sits in and whatever. Because she doesn't really hang with them, really, because she kind of hangs with the band so much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, realistically.
That's
why I see her doing that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Do you want more
female character interaction.
Do you want to read Ryan Rose's comment that he sent in?
Yeah, his comment is, I like Fozzie.
Fozzie? Eric's been doing a lot of really great work on the show.
Yeah.
With Piggy and Fozzie. And Sam. Absolutely. Sam had a good moment in the first episode that I loved.
Yeah. But yeah, and you know, it's funny because when I keep coming back to episode 2, but when Piggy's singing with Groban, I think I said this when I was watching it with Allison, Eric just sings so well for her. He just sounds so good. And I actually like that he sounds really good, because it kind of brings I think I was telling this to Charlie, it kind of brings a validity to her to her stardom. That she's not just, you know, some diva that demands attention or demands that people love her, even though everybody does, sort of, you know, for that reason anyway, but that now she can actually sing, or that she does sing a lot more, and she doesn't just think that she's good, that she actually is kind of good.
Yeah.
As well. Or I could be totally wrong, whatever, but I actually like that Eric does a really nice job singing as her.
He does.
And, like, gets actual, like, good on-key notes and everything.
He's got a lovely voice.
Yeah. He's just a better singer than Frank, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so speaking of singing, I'm really excited for episode 4, which will have aired by now, by the time this goes out, mm-hmm. with Ed Helms, because there is karaoke in Ralph's Tavern.
Tavern.
And then we'll be hearing them sing, as they do.
Yeah, they're going to be doing covers. There's the singing
probably.
That people have been wanting.
Yeah. Are we doing covers of songs? Yeah. I was gonna just go on with that weird accent that I had when I said tavern. Tavern? And Rolf's Tavern? Suddenly from New Zealand? I'm saying that? a bit of a Rhys Dobby impression going on. So I'm excited to hear them sing. And Ed Helms.
Yes.
Maybe him and Kermit will do, like, they'll just have, like, a little mini banjo jam in Kermit's office or something.
That would be pretty sweet.
Or, like, they could just have that, like, at the end, like, over the credits.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, chatting in the office or something. Or maybe Ed Helms will be just, like, told, like, he'll befriend everybody over karaoke, and then he'll be awful the rest of the episode. Who knows? We don't, because we haven't seen the episode yet. But yeah, I think that would be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
Yep. I think that's it for questions and everything.
Sweet.
Probably here around an hour, so
probably wrap it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
This has been fun.
Yeah. If you have ideas continuously, just keep sending this stuff in. If you have ideas for what you want us to talk about, what things you think that we should watch and review or read, because there's a lot of stuff to read now.
True.
And review, please let us know via lots of different ways. Twitter @ Frog Kissing Gals.
And Tumblr and Facebook.
Yeah, but it's not all the same thing. So Facebook is Frog. That's why I think we need to change our Twitter name. But, so Facebook and Tumblr is Frog Kissing Podcast.
Yes.
It's 1G in that whole thing. 1G for Frog.
Yes.
And then we're on YouTube, Frog Kissing Podcast. which has episodes just uploaded to YouTube. And all links are in those description as well. And we're on iTunes. So look for us, rate us, review us. Say good things, please, because that's what your mother would want. I actually read Sonia Manzano's book recently. I recently finished that. That was quite good.
Nice.
Little side note, because I do kind of want to get this in, if we ever, because I'll probably forget if we ever actually do talk about that book and read it. My coworker at Barnes & Noble, she used to work for Simon & Schuster, and she saw that I was reading the book. She said, "Oh, did you finish it?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, I spent a day with Sonia Manzano." And I said, "What? You're kidding. How? What? Why? Tell me everything." And she said, "Well, it was when she was working for Simon & Schuster, and it was when Sonia first came up with her first children's book that she published. So they were, like, doing promotional stuff, and Sheila, who's my coworker, went to go pick her up, and she got them lost going back to wherever they were going back to. And she's like, "And you really figure out who somebody is when you have to do sort of everyday things with them."
Yeah.
So, like, they stopped at a rest stop, and Sheila had to go to the bathroom, so Sonia kind of, like, waited in the ladies' room, and she answered Sheila's phone for her. Like, it was so weird. But it was like, yeah, she was so awesome. And they were talking, she was like, "Oh, we were talking about Elmo in the car and stuff." Like, you know, Big Bird was like a big deal when the show first started and everything. And then Elmo came along, and, you know, now it's Elmo everything. And so Sonia talked about that a bit. But yeah, Sheila said she was the nicest person ever. And I'm like, that's so awesome to hear.
That's excellent.
Know?
Yeah.
But I'm actually not surprised. I bet she is totally awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to, like, I was like, "Oh, I know somebody that did that." Another coworker of mine actually saw Jim Henson. He saw him. He didn't really meet him when he was, like, in seventh grade or something, or younger. It was in the 70s. So actually the guy that I work with, his name is coincidentally Jim. So, Jim's teacher was friends with Jim Henson.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim came to visit her and say hello or something, and he talked to the class a little bit, and that was about it. I could not get any more information out of him. I was so mad.
That's cool.
I said, "You can't come to me with this information that you met this guy that I have literally have a podcast for, and that's all you can give me." And then Jim was like, "Well, he was really nice. He was really tall." I'm like, "That's it? Okay." Don't know, a lot of people say that. Okay.
I have a friend of a friend, and he told me that he went to the Jim Henson Memorial when he was a kid.
Aww.
Because he was living in New York, and apparently, like, him and a bunch of friends skipped school that day, and they all went to it. Which I was like,
"That's great."
I was just in awe.
I was five. I couldn't go.
I was not born. That was like a month or two before I was born.
Yeah. Ugh,
I was in my mom's stomach.
You're Jim Henson.
I'm Jim.
You got reincarnated.
Oh no. Let's not
it's
start
like, oh,
that.
No, I'm wasting my life.
Yeah, that would. I would be wasting
I'm
my
wasting
life.
My
if that
life
were true.
Being Jim Henson.
Ugh. I hope I'm not Jim Henson reincarnated, because otherwise I have been doing a really bad job at it.
Now that I've made Julia feel terrible about herself, enjoy your burrito.
Oh.
No. I do actually wonder about that. Like, there are people like, is that a reincarnation a real deal?
Well,
I don't know.
Never know.
I don't know. Jim wondered about that, too.
Yeah, I know.
I remember I read one of his biographies, and it was something really strange that, and I think we actually have these books at work, the Seth Speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that came out in the 70s. Like, I really want to read those. Oh, yeah, I think it was when I was doing my paper on The Muppet Show. And I think it was in, I don't know, some book, some one of many very tiny biographies that I read.
Yeah.
Of him. And now at Barnes & Noble, and I figured this out the other day, you can pick up Jim Henson's biography, hardback edition, in the bargain section for like $8. So if you haven't read it yet, you have no excuse. So go get it.
Get it.
Go get it. It is like, you know, not that much monies. And I bought it when it was new, when it was more monies. More money dollars. So yeah. So go get it at your local Barnes & Noble. Your friendly neighborhood Barnes & Noble. Which is where I work.
Yes.
If you didn't get that by now. So yeah, whatever you guys, since we got so off topic of stuff, whatever you guys want us to do for the next one, let us know. Or if we don't do it for the next one, then we'll do it for the next one. Or we'll do it for one in the future. We will eventually get to it. And I don't know. That's it, I guess.
Yay!
Watch the new Muppet Show.
Do it, and we'll probably talk about more episodes in the future. And by probably, I mean we will talk about more episodes
in
the future.
We will, and we'll have other people to talk about with them.
Yes.
What? No. We will have other people
come on and talk about
and
them
talk about
with us.
Them. Right. Yes.
That.
Because
English.
Reasons.
The English
because
language.
Reasons and words. And, yeah. And the Puppetry Center, the Center for Puppetry Arts. See? More words. Center for Puppetry Arts in Atlanta is doing the new grand opening deal.
Yeah.
Which Tough Pigs, pig person. Tough pig, just noun. very awesome artist and cool dude, and North Carolina native Barry Lee will be at. I forget what his Tumblr handle is, but he'll be there doing things for Tough Pigs, which is awesome. I will not be there because I looked at my bank account today and cried, so that's not happening for me.
Not happening for me either. I thought
and,
about
and not Julia because we tried.
We talked about it.
Yeah,
it was discussed.
We looked at it. We looked at it when we had more money, and then said, "Yeah, we could probably do this." And then a month later, we're like, "No, we can't actually."
Yeah, unfortunately, I really
so
wanted to make it happen.
Maybe later. Yeah, I did get approved for a credit card, but still, that's not. Nope. It's not gonna be here in time. And also bills and stuff. So. Yeah, that's not happening. But, you know, we will make it there sometime.
Eventually.
Yeah. You know, maybe Steve will have, like, a talk or something, like he has done before. And that would be a cool thing to go to.
That'd be rad.
So, that's super truly it for this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Like, click like, subscribe, all that.
Yes.
Rate us 5 stars.
All of the stars.
Please. Yeah, all stars. If you feel anything different, less than 5 stars, just, you know, give us a couple more for not having cursed in the last couple podcasts. please don't take points away. Be a nice person to you and your family, even if you don't want to be a nice person. Be one anyway, because we need more of that in the world. And I'm going to keep working on your Christmas present, Julia.
Ooh.
And watch stuff that I need to watch.
Intriguing.
And yeah, so Merry Christmas.
Merry early Christmas.
Merry early Christmas.
All right. Well, some of us need to go have dinner.
Oh yeah,
also
you gotta eat.
Go use the bathroom, which they might have needed to use for the last like 25 minutes.
Yeah, I don't like. When will Laura shut up? Just shut up already in the damn podcast.
I need to pee.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we need, like, some good ending, because this doesn't
okay.
work out too well.
Bye, guys!
Alright, bye.
Alright, bye.
Oh, man.
It's like you're unraveling a big cable knit sweater
that someone keeps knitting, and knitting, and knitting, and knitting, and knitting, and knitting, and knitting.